This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Our feature review today is Hellboy. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And straight into it then with Hellboy being the 2019 reboot. Is that the way to refer to it? From the Guillermo del Toro couple of films with Ron Perlman in the lead, based on the Dark Horse comics character of the same name. This one is directed by Neil Marshall. Bit of a fave of mine.
I know this guy.
These parts. And the stars, of course, David Harbour in the title role, Ian McShane, Mila Jovovich, Sasha Lane, Daniel Day-Kim, and bizarrely, Thomas Hayden Church.
Yes, that is bizarre.
It's 121 minutes long. The budget was a reported $50 million. The box office thus far, having been out now for over a week, 27.5 dismal million dollars. Wayne, good luck with this, but what's it about?
Yeah. Hellboy is a little demon that was found in World War II, and now he's grown up and is a paranormal investigator working for this organization that does, like, paranormal research and wipes out demons. He is red, and he has horns that he has shorn down to stubs, because he doesn't like being a demon so much or looking
doesn't
like
want
a demon.
Doesn't want to stand out anymore than he does.
Exactly. Okay, then you got Mila Jovovich, who plays a villain called the Blood Queen. She's going to come back, and the world's going to end, and only Hellboy can stop her. The essential line with this movie.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the way we roll.
Yeah, I mean, because there's nothing specific I can tell you about it that's a big, huge feature. It's kind of just that story.
Well, we'll go non-spoilers first.
All right.
All right, so if you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you on board. We will not be spoiling anything until we get to the clearly demarked part of the show.
Right.
What did you think, Wayne, of Hellboy?
Okay, so obviously, everyone knows by now, this movie has been slammed by everyone.
Yep.
Okay? It's got a horrible everything score. And as always, when I see a known turkey, I am kind of hoping to like it so that we can have a fun banter about it.
Oh, you contrary.
It's not so much that. It's more that if something's got like a bad rap, I'm in the movie's corner when I walk into it, because that's the kind of guy I want to be, right? I'll just make my own call about it. So I go in there and I sit in there. And right off the bat, first 15 minutes or not, I'm like, okay, I'm noticing that there's an odd tone to this movie from the first 15 to 20 minutes, I would say. I notice that it's edited and presented in a way that's, for me, very difficult to engage with. It's a lot of very fast cuts, very rushed, and lots of information. And as you know, I'm not very smart. So I don't even, like, even I feel like, oh, that's a lot to take in. And it's also, like I said, because of the fast edits or something, I'm not able to sit into the scene with them and take it all in. It's a bit difficult. But then the problem this movie has is its story. It's just the weaving of the story is sloppy. It's like there's so many people to talk to, so many different locations to go to get all the pieces of the puzzle that don't service anything really. They, you know, you could get there a lot quicker, and that was the problem with this movie. It was shit. It was shit.
I would love to disagree with you.
I know, I would too.
But I think you're pretty much spot on. For the record, Rotten Tomatoes has an approval rating of 15% based on 170 reviews. With an average rating of 3.57 out of 10. Metacritic has the average score of 31 out of 100. So this is a giant, giant turkey.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with anything that you've said. This one really has raised a few hackles, hasn't it? Now, the odds were against this film from the get-go.
Is that so?
Let's acknowledge from the start. Because everyone loves Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, do they?
And everybody loves Ron Perlman.
Sure.
And so about 5, maybe 6 years ago, Guillermo del Toro put out a tweet saying, if I get a million retweets or something like that,
we'll
have a meeting about Hellboy 3 and finishing the trilogy. He put it out.
Yeah.
He got a million retweets. Mike Mignola, and Ron Perlman all sat down, and then he tweeted afterwards, not happening. Sorry, guys, it's over. Hellboy 3. So I'm not sure who didn't come to the party or how
they
didn't come.
Yeah, they would have shut him down.
He tried in some particular way. Therefore, you know, people want Hellboy. The creator wants Hellboy. We get another Hellboy, this time with Neil Marshall. Now, Neil Marshall's pedigree is second to none. Game of Thrones, major episodes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, including the Battle of Blackwater.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did that episode.
I didn't know.
He did a film you're about to watch, The Descent, for the first time on Jared's home theater.
Well, the less said about that, the better.
We are looking forward to that day. He also did one of my favorite little low-budget horror action films called Dog Soldiers.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that movie. And there's a long-time friend of
currently
his.
Currently on Netflix called Doomsday. He also did probably the lesser of his films, but still good fun.
Okay.
Good fun. So I wanted this film to be a success for him. However, he has cut himself off from doing anything to do with the marketing and press, the advertising, really? The press from it. because apparently he had a huge falling out with a whole bunch of the producers.
Yes.
There's some massive behind-the-scenes stories about this, right down to little things like a tree. Is it asymmetrical or symmetrical enough?
I read that. It was because I did research because it was so bad. I'm like, how did this happen? Because it's actually hard. Not hard. It's easy for a movie to fuck up. But for this to get to this far and have this kind of problem, because anyone watching this movie is going to go, this is fucked. Even like a... If you're the editor going, this is as good as I can do. That's what you're doing. That's the attitude.
It is very choppy. It jumps around. There are apparently some 4 or 5 or even 6 types of Hellboy storylines woven into this.
It's so
unfocused. And let's face it, the character of Hellboy in this iteration is a whiny bitch.
He's not cool.
He's not likable at all. And David Harbour, I don't think he's bad in the role. He tries.
Yes, I think.
But he doesn't get much to do.
Agreed. The actual choice of David Harbour is an inspired choice.
Yeah, he's the right build. He's
definitely.
The right, he's very Ron Perlman-esque in many ways.
And he's the sheriff, and he's the, you know, in Stranger Things, people
the sheriff
like
or what?
Yeah, in, like, in life. Know, in life, exactly. No, but like people, fans of this genre, if you like Stranger Things, you probably aren't that opposed to Hellboy. You know,
well, you want it to be a success because you want David Harbour.
Exactly, right? So that's a really smart move. And I think that's what happened here. I think this is just pure speculation, but the studio is like, I don't know if we're having problems with these, like you stretch it franchise over 20 years kind of thing. Let's just reboot it and kick it. And I know a guy who's more popular than Ron Perlman right now, David Harbour. You know, let's just do that. So they just went with that. But I read, like you said, that this producer and him just butted heads on every single detail.
Yeah.
And David Harbour even walked off the set lots of times because he's just sick of it.
Yeah, it's not a good behind-the-scenes story. But I agree. The film is pretty terrible. It's hard to find positives, though I did. And one of them, I think Hellboy looks great.
Yeah, let's talk about the good shit. That's what we
get. Let's it'll be a short discussion.
Yeah, it's a short
discussion. But Hellboy looks great himself. The makeup is excellent.
Agree.
I thought the horns and the way they grew and got filed back and whatever else, that looked a lot more organic
than
what I remember from the previous iteration.
Yep. The previous iteration looks like the comic, but yeah, it's real.
I thought some of the action scenes were well choreographed and could have been well shot if not being let down by the horrendous CGI.
What's with the CGI? Yeah,
we'll come to the bad things. But I'm saying I could see Neil Marshall's eye, and there's a couple of great scenes that could have been awesome were it not for that CGI.
Mm.
Ian McShane, he's always going to be a pro for me. Swearengin in a different role. He doesn't have much to do either, but what he does fine.
Very first voiceover, as you open the movie, is Ian McShane saying, 501 BC, whatever. They call it the age of something. For good fucking reason. He's doing that. That's like the fourth or seventh sentence or something in it. I was like, oh, that's quite
well, even that sort of prequel bit with King Arthur and the Blood Queen being cut into pieces and whatever.
That was actually really good.
Well, the showing, it's so over the top, the gore. And they set that up very quick. And I like that personally.
I know you do.
It's a pro for me.
But I'm interested to hear, when we talk about whether it doesn't work or not, you know, just certain...
So it's totally inconsistent with the sort of fun and silly vibe of the rest of the film. So, yeah. And I also think Baba Yaga was great.
Really?
Yeah, that was the one more prosthetic looking creature in the whole film.
Oh, she looked great.
And she moved freakily, and I was all tick, tick. That was the best part of the film for me.
Interesting that you would think that. Of course you would, actually. Yes.
And then lastly, the only other pro I've got is the demon attacks at the end, and that's all I'll say, were pretty inspired with their lunacy.
Ah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. That's all I got for pros. Do you have any pros other than those ones?
Yeah, I got two, and it's really 1.5. the giant scene. There's a scene where he fights 3 giants, and the way the scene was filmed...
That's what I'm saying. That's the choreograph.
That's the one, right? Yeah. Very energetic camera, and it looked like that was a proper storyboard, because they filmed it from his perspective, so they really looked huge, these giants. That
was also a one-shot.
Yeah, I think that's why I was filming. Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. I was wondering whether it was or wasn't. So, okay, very cool. So that was it. That, to me, that's the best sequence in the whole movie. All right? And it comes relatively quick.
Other than the CGI. Which is
PlayStation
2, maybe 3 level graphics.
It looked like a cutscene, like a video game cutscene. But you know what? Because I was enjoying the camera, I was like, okay, whatever. You know? That's like that. The second thing is, and this is a really existential almost point about this movie, at least, the movie is not trying to be too clever and failing. Like, I didn't get the impression it was, like, trying to be something and then just missed it. It was just kind of bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was almost, like, honestly bad. Again, for some reason, that's better to me than if you tried and failed.
Okay. So you just embrace your shit.
Well, if you think something thinks it's too clever, then that's really annoying. But as long as it's just bad, it's like, well, I'll just
get like every Darren Aronofsky's film ever made.
Yes. Paul adored Aronofsky's wonderful thing.
And this is the only show you'll hear Darren Aronofsky mentioned in the Hellboy review anywhere in the world. That's just for you.
There we okay. are. Now let's talk about the problems.
Oh boy. Let's give them a general sense and then we'll expand upon them in the spoiler section. The script is awful. It tries to shoehorn in so many things that you just don't give a shit about any of them. All of the characters are unlikable to terrible.
Yeah, I do. I'll be honest with you. I was almost not rooting for Hellboy that much because he's a bit of a bitch.
He is a bitch. Ian McShane, or I can't remember what his character's name is, sorry, in the film. Dad. In the film. He's an asshole and seems to be an asshole. I'm never quite established why.
Unapologetic asshole to his son. Not son.
But I love your son.
And,
I'm going to treat you badly to get you ready for the world. That's all I got. And I'm like, but what?
More importantly, like, what made him not kill the demon when he saw it? Like,
exactly. That's never explained.
Not explained. So it's like, okay, well, this is a bit shit.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, Jovovich.
We've said that all these years. I can't get that in my head now. She's awful. She is Resident Evil awful in this film. Now, she has gotten so bad and such. She's almost a caricature of what a bad actor is.
Well, for the record, she looks amazing.
Sure. Right? She's a beautiful woman. Okay. But she can't act to save a fucking life.
No, but here's the thing. Resident Evil 1 and 2 I adore.
One,
else I hate.
Fine.
2 had the other girl in it. Yeah. Really cool. But, so that was like, Mila Jovovich is like, she's there and she's the blood queen. But what really gives me the shits about this show is like, they will do one little thing. Like, there's this bit where Mila Jovovich throws a twig into one of the characters' heads. And then that then sparks this whole new quest of the movie of where the characters have to now go to combat the effects of that. And I'm like, what is this shit now? You're breaking away from the main thing for this really meaningless thing. And I can tell it's meaningless when it happens.
Characters pop in and disappear like that blonde witch.
What is that?
She comes crawling towards the Blood Queen and then is dispatched and then gives a bit of information. Never see her again.
That's it. And there's no like wrap up to that story. No. Or she's not even important to the rest of the story.
How come when the Blood Queen got to the tree, there's 75,000 demons just suddenly coming out of everywhere? Like, again, what?
No, it's okay. Exactly. No rules, right? Or the rules are not followed. And then it feels like the movie is just inventing backstories in a heartbeat to ham-handedly explain like events which are just cropping up now in the film. Like, oh, well, this happened because of this. And like, the fuck? Shut up.
I'm glad you mentioned this, by the way, but the ridiculously shitty pig hench ham instead of henchman.
Yeah, well done, well done, well done.
Proud of that one.
He's... That's why you brought it up. Kraken didn't even try and justify it later. He's like, yeah, fuck it, hench ham. Yeah! That's cool, baby.
Gotta make our own fun of this fucking review.
Well, absolutely. To take your point, though, that guy gave me the shit.
Oh, he was awful. What... I can never remember which one of these. Is it Bebop or Rocksteady? May as well have been.
Yeah, he's either both of them, kind of. That's exactly
awful,
what he was.
Awful. And the CGI, again, terrible.
And he was like unnecessarily cruel, right? Just like all of the demons in this thing. We talked about the violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is violence for violence's sake, right? Yeah. And it's completely like...
You're probably right.
That's why it's a problem. If something is violent because it has to be violent to prove a point, that's fine. This was like, nope. This is just you being like, it's like the movie had nothing more to give you than trying to push the R rating as far as it could.
Because
that's all it has. It doesn't got anything good, clever about it. It hasn't got any fucking good other shit.
Yeah, you're right. Can't argue with that either. This is a really boring review. Sorry, because we're just agreeing about everything. In fact, I don't even know if we need to do a spoilers because who gives a shit?
Yeah, fuck it. You know what? Let's just go straight up.
Yeah,
Daniel Day Kim has the stupidest British accent. It's like really bad.
Yes, he's terrible. I mean, don't mention anything that happens at the end. We'll just steer clear of that. But... linking it back in with the Arthurian legend is weird. And again, the rules just aren't well defined. Touch this sword and what?
That also means nothing. Like, this is the prophecy. I can't touch the sword. And then Ian McShane says, don't let a prophecy define you. I'm like, is that really the point of a prophecy?
And you're right. Yeah, I don't have to do it.
Yeah, then he changes his mind. Yep. Okay, well, let's just do this then.
Actually, that's a spoiler.
But you guys aren't going to see it. If you're listening to this review and you haven't already seen it, you're not going to see it. And I don't recommend that
welcome
you
Welcome to our spoiler-filled review of Hellboy.
Look, I'll just do the spoiler thing. Ready? Spoilers, honk, 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 spoilers. Okay?
Except you said that bit before it.
Fuck it. Don't worry about it. No one's watching it, man. You know what? I'm going to spoil it right now for you. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, now that Wayne has given the wonderful spoiler.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
There's nothing else really to say about the film. We've crapped on it enough.
I do want to say one thing, right? Now that we've said spoilers. It's not really a spoiler. There is design in this movie that is just weird and a little bit gross and just kind of shitty. For example, there's a girl in the movie who can like make ghosts come out of her mouth right? Like, she can, like, it's like, oh, someone come out of my mouth.
Which I couldn't really work out then. Was that meant to be her organs that were forming?
Yes. Now, this is the problem. Now, if you had a ghost coming out of your mouth, maybe you might use a mist type approach with the effect. It's a ghost, after all. What they've done is it's basically like her insides have turned inside out, and these membranes are what are constructing the bottom half of the ghost, and the top half of the ghost is just like a normal person's top half, right? Whoever the ghost is. And I'm like, this looks fucking stupid. It looks like the mother alien's, like, membrane in Alien, like the shit, the ass part where she lays eggs. It's just that.
That's pretty good. I mean?
Yeah, it's like...
That's accurate.
These are odd choices. Like, if you look at it, you're like, I'm not fucking... And it looked horrible, too. It was shitty CGI, again.
Yep. Again, very shitty CGI.
Yeah. And so,
then she has some ability where she can ghost punch people, but that doesn't know where it came from, and there's never referred to again, except for at the end of the film where we see her using it a little bit more adeptly.
Yeah, this also doesn't fit. She's a slight little girl who learned two tricks. Now she's part of some team which whoops ass.
Yep.
And I'm like,
along with Daniel Day-Kim, who's, what is he, like almost like a were-lion or a were-cheetah or some shit.
Yeah, exactly, some kind of tiger shit. I don't know. I mean, just really bad. Did you stay past the credits?
Did I stay past the credits? Now, I honestly have no memory.
My first inclination was to run out of there because I'd spent enough of my life in that theater. But I thought, no, let's let the kids know if there's something. There are two end credit scenes.
All right, what are they again? Oh, yes. Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church.
Right, let's talk about Thomas Hayden Church. So
what the fuck was he?
Well, first of all, Ned from Ned and Stacey is inexplicably in this movie covered with a mask. Yep. And you can sort of tell it's him. And it's just like one scene. And then
it's a flashback to World War II.
Which was... Hit with never fucking, like, mentioned.
Again. And then at the
end... Or before, barely.
He's visiting Dad's grave.
Yeah, and then the ghost of Ned comes in.
And I didn't realize it was a ghost. I'm like, oh, so this guy doesn't age. So he's like a demon. Oh, no, he's a ghost. What?
And now the ghost is giving him advice. He goes, yeah, I got myself killed.
And he's hero-worshipping him. And I'm like, but we haven't established that at all.
Exactly. None of that means anything because you haven't been given any lead-up. And then the very last scene? Did you see that?
Again, remind me.
You shouldn't, because I was Googling it as the credits were running, saying, is there anything after this? I just want to go, right? And there was something. Okay. And it's just like this.
Did you stay for it?
Yes, I did. Okay. Because I'm committed like that.
Yeah. We do this podcast for you.
That's right. It's the Baba Yaga. It's just a scene of her across the table talking to someone. Yeah. And
it's how memorable this film is.
I know. This is the thing. I had to write that shit down because I knew I was going to forget it, right?
Yep.
So that's the end. And it means nothing. It sets up
the non-existent sequel that will never, ever,
The funny thing. In the first one where you see that, what's this creature in this thing? And they mention the name of it and this webbed hand comes and hits the glass.
Yep.
That's that character that was in Guillermo del Toro's.
Yeah, it's Niles,
The Shape of Water. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Niles from Frasier, plays that character.
Oh, really? David Hyde Pierce.
Think.
Cool.
Actually, he does.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. So yeah, again, but you'll never see it because it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Look, I want to come back to the big monsters at the end when Hellboy claims his prophetic birthright and becomes the devil incarnate queen, king of, I don't know, what the fuck ever.
Monarchy. I don't know.
Yeah. Then all these massive demons climb out of pits from hell and start killing people. I thought some of that was pretty cool.
All of that was shit, Paul. All of that was fucking shit. These big-ass 12-sandwich-eating fucking huge 18-story-high monster demons come in and just destroy and kill people in the most harsh ways by tearing their faces off, skewering them.
Yep.
That's all shit, right? Because it was they're being unnaturally cruel, and it's detracting from... anything that was there's no reason they're this cruel. They're just, again, this is all the movie has
to
offer.
That's the big monster movie I want to see. Those things lumbering around.
Oh, God, you're such a sick fuck. I hated that. When it started making it really, really torture porny, I got mad at the movie. I'm like, fuck this show. Ooh. So, you know.
Everything else about this film was pretty terrible. I didn't hate it. I didn't loathe it with a carefree abandon. I walked out of there going, that was bad, but I had some fun moments.
I fell asleep.
Okay.
Nodded off during the sort of middle bits. So I'm like, and then this is.
So you probably missed a whole bunch of Hellboy tantrums.
Yeah, sort of. It was like when you go watch a movie on an aircraft, I call that like an emotional deprivation chamber. Like you're just sitting there and you're like, okay, well, this movie better be fucking everything, right? Because that's all it is, right?
I don't know. I think there's something about the lack of oxygen.
Like it could be physiological effects. I'm not sure. But to me, watching a movie like that, I managed to get there with this movie because I was sitting in the recliner like chair thing in the movies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is really boring. I would now like to go to sleep. And I remember going,
fuck the podcast.
No. I was like, I'm just going to, and I couldn't fight it because I'm really bad like that. And I just went boom and I just dropped. And I thought, just like 2 seconds at a time, maybe a minute at a time.
I know. All right. Well, look, let's do it then. Let's give final scores, final thoughts on Hellboy 2019 iteration. Very, very sad possible swan song for Neil Marshall in Hollywood.
I hope he doesn't go to movie jail after this.
I think he's going to movie jail.
Hope his agent got him a new gig before this one dropped.
He is hoping. All right, what did you give us as a score?
It is a 23.
So 23. I'm giving it 35. So, once again in 2019,
no,
Wayne
because,
is...
No, because you kiss my ass! It's not so much that it's a fuck up sound, it's that it goes on for so long and you can't understand what the fuck you're saying. Bitch.
Wayne is Negatron. It's official.
I am not.
For
I'm
about
just, no,
way
Paul just
more
likes torture
enough.
Porn because he's a bitch. That's why. shit. Don't go see this movie. Everyone.
No, don't. It's
don't
not
even
worth,
go anywhere near
it's
it.
Not just, worth seeing at the cinema.
Just stay home and have a wank.
If you have a morbid curiosity, check it out once it comes to streaming.
Yeah, but even then, skip like a motherfucker through it. Like, it'll make the same amount of sense.
All right, that's our review of Hellboy. Probably the worst of the year thus far we've reviewed with the possible, yeah, for me.
What about, like, Serenity? In
oh,
the
no,
Patreon?
That's a Patreon review. Doesn't okay, count for the, main, right. for the main show.
By the way, get along and hear that if you want to hear yeah. just destruction.
Yeah, we don't spring it very much on the show, but we have a Patreon. If you are interested, we have lots of extra content on that. It's built up over the last year or so. There's heaps and heaps of extra reviews and all
filthy stories from me and Paul.
That stuff as well. So do check it out if you're at all interested. And you can find that link in the show notes as well as a link to our Facebook listener community. You can find us on Twitter at The Countdown PC and via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Word.
Okay. That was pretty sweet.
They're good.
Best part of the review was right. wrapping it up right that.
Sorry, folks. The next one will be more interesting.
Hopefully. The next one should be more interesting because our next review is going to be Avengers. Endgame.
I've been shitting my pants for that for so long. Okay.
That is it. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And we will catch you next week after we hear from the soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker. Press stop now, y'all.
Catch you next time.
Yep.